sing probably two closing songs. We've already started the service, so I'm already going to be preaching here. So if you can pick out two closing songs, that would be good. Also, if somebody can give me a glass of water, I'm dealing with a little bit of a scratchy throat tonight. Looks like maybe Isaac is going after that for me. Greetings of grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The sermon text for this evening's Advent service will be taken from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll be looking at the 21st chapter and reading the first 16 verses. I'm also going to be touching on one of the Advent hymns. I've been thinking about this, praying about it, and I always hate to say that I'm going to follow this all the way through, but my intent is to examine the hymn, one of the hymns along with the scripture text for the next couple of services, for the Advent services. So tonight, song number 7, I don't know if you put that up on the board, we could possibly sing that one tonight, but if it's not there, it doesn't matter. But O Bride of Christ, rejoice. So that'll be the song that I'll be referring to somewhat this evening as well. But our sermon of the gospel text is again from Matthew chapter 21 and reading the first 16 verses and reading then as follows in the name of our Lord. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them, and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say that the Lord hath need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek, and sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way, others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, Who is this? And the multitude said, This is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God, and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, It is written, My house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. And when the chief priests and scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased, and said unto him, Hearest thou what these say? And Jesus said unto them, Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise. Amen. And shall we pray? Gracious Father, we thank you again tonight for your word. We do pray again that indeed you would teach us and instruct us. Open our eyes, Father, to our bride, our bridegroom, so that, Father, that we as the bride would then observe him in all of his glory and splendor, but also, Father, that we would observe him as he hangs there on a cross on our behalf. So we thank you, Father, again this night for the opportunity you have given us to gather around this living and holy word. And we ask again that you would sanctify us, set us apart in the truth, for your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. This text actually, although it is listed in the one-year lectionary as an Advent text, is very often used during the Palm Sunday, or as one of the Palm Sunday readings, and you can probably see that fairly clearly. Perhaps you even recognized this text from around the time of Easter. But it's fascinating, actually, to look at this in light of Advent. And we talked about Advent a little bit on Sunday in understanding what the word Advent means. Advent, of course, means coming. And so we talked mostly, I think, on Sunday about the second coming of our Lord, where here we see now the first coming. And this is really what's pictured for us in this scene as we observe this by faith, or as we observe it even in our reading tonight, where Jesus now is coming into Jerusalem. He's making his way up into the towns in before Jerusalem, Bethphage and Bethany. And he instructs his disciples to go out now into this city in front of them, this village actually. It says over against you in the King James. It just simply means the town that we're coming up upon. Go there and you will find this colt, which is the foal of a donkey. And there you will get this colt and you will bring it onto me, and I will use this even to fulfill Scripture. And that's really what I see, or what I want to kind of point out tonight. I'm not necessarily going to talk so much about this event, although it is an incredible event that takes place here, but more in the light of O Bride of Christ Rejoice, song number 7 in our hymnal. You see, as Jesus now enters into Jerusalem, as he's riding upon this colt, He rides there, and the people, of course, lay out their garments in the way. They spread out these palm branches, and they do all of this to indicate that a king was now riding into Jerusalem. This is a king now who is coming to deliver them. This is really the cry now that comes from their lips. They say, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And the term Hosanna simply means basically come and save us. So this isn't like a term that's saying hallelujah, he's coming into Jerusalem. No, actually what they're crying out for is that Jesus would come, this Messiah who they are professing to be the Messiah, would come and now save them. He would actually deliver them from their current plight, where they find themselves now under the jurisdiction and rule of Rome. And so when Jesus rides into Jerusalem on the back of this colt, he rides into there with, and the people are fully expecting now that this is actually the Son of David. This is the Messiah. This is who all of the prophets now have been pointing to for all of these years. This is the one that we've been waiting for. So now we expect him to save us, even as the prophets indicated that he would do. Song number 7, if you have that hymnal in front of you, you'll notice it says, O Bride of Christ, rejoice. Exultant, raise thy voice to hail the day of glory, foretold in sacred story. You see, what the Old Testament brings to us is none other than Christ. And the cry, or the songwriter, as they pen down this song, this is what he really captures. He actually is using from John's account of this same triumphant entry into Jerusalem. He's quoting from there in his song lyrics. But it's a fascinating thing for you and I to consider as we think about the first coming of our Lord, his first advent, as he comes now into Jerusalem and is about to carry out the work on our behalf. The people of Jerusalem, the Jewish people of that day, did not expect their king to wind up on the center cross of Calvary. That was not at all in their expectations or even dreams, perhaps, of the Messiah. The Messiah would come and he would actually deliver them. He would come in his first coming and bring Jerusalem into ascendancy. Once more, again, they would rule, as it were, over the known world. But the kingdom of God doesn't come like that. You and I, of course, understand that. We understand that because we know the entirety of this story as it's brought to us, the account of our salvation. But in the song, O Bride of Christ, Rejoice, you see in the second refrain, no, I guess it's not the refrain, it's probably the lyric, the verse. Let shouts of gladness rise triumphant to the skies. Here comes the King most glorious to reign o'er all victorious. Hosanna, praise and glory. Our King, we bow before thee. Now, I wonder how it would have been for any one of us as we were following in that crowd with these people as they followed Jesus or walked in front of him perhaps as he made his way into that city. What exactly were they expecting? What exactly did they think that he would do when he rode into there? Do you think that the events that unfolded in our text were what they thought would happen? That he would ride now into Jerusalem, and when he got there, he would go into his father's temple, and there he would see the hypocrisy going on, and he would drive all of that out. That's exactly what takes place. They're following along with him, the multitudes, the crowds, and they're shouting this, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And really have no real clear understanding of what they're saying, other than that they're simply repeating the prophecies of the scripture. In Zechariah 9, in Psalms 118, you see both of these things being carried out, both of these things being prophesied of. So in Zechariah 9, you see exactly this. This is what's going to take place. The people are going to cry out, the children of Zion, the daughter of Zion, and say, here is your king, the one who comes riding into Jerusalem. He's not riding actually on a great steed or a horse that's made for war, but rather on this little colt, which is the foal of a donkey. And the city's moved. All of the city, it tells us, is moved because who is this? What is all the fuss? What is all the fuss that we make as Christians? What is all the fuss about? As we gather in our Advent services or we gather within our services at any given time within the church, very often this is what needs to take place for the people who enter into the church door. They need their beings moved, so to speak, so that the question again is addressed for them as we enter again into the Advent season. Who is this man who rides into Jerusalem on the back of this colt, which is the foal of a donkey? Who is this? And they say, well, it's Jesus, the prophet. And in one sense, they're right. He was a prophet. But he wasn't just a prophet. He was a priest as well. And he also was a king. O Bride of Christ, rejoice. Who is the songwriter talking to? Anybody? He's talking to you. He's talking to us. You see, this is what really these texts are written, the gospel texts as they are delivered to us. And I would encourage you, as I often do, I know, but I would encourage you to go through and read all of the accounts of the triumphal entry into Jerusalem and read them out loud and hear the words with your own ears as you speak them with your own tongue. Because it's a powerful thing as you again read of the account, four times in fact it's recorded in all of the Gospels. This is recorded because it's very significant. It's a very significant event in the life of Jesus here in this earth as he makes his way, as it were, toward his own crucifixion, toward his own sacrifice for us. He has to do or take this path in order to fulfill all of the prophecy that was proclaimed by the prophets about him. To hail the day of glory. First line again. And O bride of Christ, rejoice. To hail the day of glory foretold in sacred story. God's salvation was unfolding in front of their very eyes. God's salvation for the Jews was beginning to take place. Of course, it began all the way back at the birth in the Bethlehem manger. But here we see now, as he rides into Jerusalem, he's about to now bring it to its fruition. He's about to bring it to its completion as he enters there into that city and begins to carry out the remainder of his work. Ironically, these very same people who were crying for him to save them at this point, Hosanna, and remember, I told you, says it's a cry for saving us, would be the same people who would raise their voices to say, crucify him, crucify him. Without even really realizing that even as they cry that out, they're crying out for the work that it would in fact save them. You see, that's kind of the irony behind all of this. Here comes the King of Glory, God himself, riding on this colt, on this lowly beast of burden, riding into the city, and the people are all hailing him, as they should, because other accounts would tell us, and I'll clue you in a little bit, one of the other accounts says that when some of the people were saying, hey, tell those people to be quiet. And Jesus looked at them and said, if they didn't shout out, well, see those stones would immediately begin to cry out. Because the creator of the universe was riding into the city of God. The city that housed the temple that was built for him. He was riding now into Jerusalem to save these people. But not just them, but to save us. He rides into Jerusalem to save us. O bride of Christ, rejoice. Exultant, raise thy voice to hail the day of glory foretold in sacred story. Let shouts of gladness rise triumphant to the skies. Here comes the King most glorious to reign o'er all victorious. And notice the third verse. He wears no kingly crown, yet as a king he's known. Though not arrayed in splendor, he still makes death surrender. Some of these song lyrics, in case some of you arrived a little late, I'm actually using O Bride of Christ, Rejoice, song number 7 in our hymnal as part of the sermon text tonight. It's an amazing story. I know I've said that many, many times. And I don't even know how to preach it. I'll be honest. I don't even know how to preach about this story, except for to say it's amazing. This guy, this Jesus, this man who is our King, who is our Lord, who is our God, lays down all of his majesty, all of his glory, all of his power, so to speak, all of his might, and rides into Jerusalem on a lowly beast of burden. I mean, how can you compare that? Maybe there's no real comparison for us. I was trying to think of a good comparison to bring it into today's vernacular and analogy. It'd be kind of like, you know, a Datsun pickup and a big, nice Ford or Chevy. You know, how would you expect your president to ride into your town in the back of a little beat-up truck or in a big, beefed-up, you know, truck with all of the latest bling on it so that everybody would catch and notice? And that's a poor analogy, I know it is. Jesus comes into Jerusalem, and what does he do? He goes into the temple, and he casts out those who are there using the temple for a house of merchandise, is really all he does here. He walks in there, and he notices immediately what's taking place. These people are exploiting the house of God to fatten their own wallets. There's no worship going on here at all. It's simply a money-making enterprise, and he is very furious with this and immediately drives them all out of there with a whip. In fact, makes a whip and just goes after those people, drives them from that place. And then you notice the ironic change. Because who then is allowed in? The blind, the lame, the needy, the people who needed someone to save them. They're the ones who are now coming into the temple. Because this is what the temple of God was always about. This is what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. It is not a club for saints. We've heard that said many times, but maybe sometimes it needs to be drilled back into our heads. This is a hospital for sinners. It is a field house in the midst of a warfare for those who are wounded. That is the whole impact of the church. The church now speaks out to those who are in need, those who are lost, those who are under the burden of their sin, and it comes to them with the assurance of the gospel. Your sins are now forgiven, but for the sake of Jesus Christ and through his shed blood. Jesus was furious with these people who had turned God's worship, his temple, the place where people are supposed to come to find relief for their burdened sin, to bring their sacrifices and have them offered to God in order to have a covering for their sins. Instead, he says, you've made it into a den of thieves. And the scribes are quite thrilled with this, correct? No, they're not. The religious elite, when the chief priests and scribes saw the, notice how the Matthew describes this in his gospel. In verse 15, and when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were sore displeased. He makes it nice sounding. They were mad. They were ticked off. Who exactly do you think you are? And so they say to him, can you hear what these people are saying? Now remember, you got to remember what's going on here. You've heard this story perhaps many times, but I don't know how often you've sat and thought about it. But I often, I shouldn't say I do, but this is what I would paint for you if I could. This is God. This is the creator of the universe. This is our Lord and our Savior coming into his own temple, his own house. Why do you think he is so upset when he comes into his own house and finds people using it for their own selfish gains? And then he has these people who are supposed to be the ones who are working for him. This is their calling. They were born into these tribes. They were the priests. They were the Levites. They were these certain people who were established by God himself to take care of all of the things in the temple and the teaching and of the word of God. And when God himself shows up, they don't want him there. They're not happy at all. And so Jesus says to them, after they ask, can't you hear what they're saying to you? He says, yea, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Verse 4 and 5, O bride of Christ, rejoice. Thy heart now open wide, bid Christ with thee abide. He graciously will hear thee and be forever near thee. Even babes with one accord with thee shall praise the Lord, and every Gentile nation respond with exaltation. It's us. This is our King. You see, this is no simple story. This is our King. This is our King in his first advent, riding into Jerusalem, knowing full well what he would suffer at the hands of his own creation, and he went anyway. Knowing full well that they would turn on him like a bunch of turncoats. But he went anyway. This is our King who recognizes the needs of his people, who forever, as he walked through the area of Palestine and around the Sea of Galilee, as he ministered there, was forever taking care of people who were lame, who were blind, who had all various types of troubles and problems. Sounds kind of familiar. You see, when I stand up in front of a congregation, I don't see a bunch of perfect people. I see a lot of people with problems, with things going on in their lives that perhaps aren't so pleasant. I see a lot of sinners looking back at me. But I find it very difficult to point my hand at them and begin to shout at them because they're sinners, because they just have to all point right back at me and say, you're no different, Pastor. And they're right, and you're right. Yea, have you never read? Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings, thou hast perfected praise. Psalm 18, verse 2. It is these babes, these sucklings, these nursing infants who recognize their Lord and Savior, who praise him for his glory and his goodness. It is us who are the Gentiles now, who are not Jewish by blood, who have received the same. And so Hosanna, praise and glory, our King, we bow before thee. Because that's all we can do. He rides into Jerusalem on the colt, the foal of a donkey, and he goes there, and the people yell, Hosanna, and he goes and he does exactly that. He saves them. And likewise, he has saved us. We are now set free. We now are part of this great gathering of saints across this globe, all who are named by the name of Jesus Christ. And all of this because this man, Jesus, rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And he rode into there in order to save not only them, but us as well. And every Gentile nation responds with exaltation. O bride of Christ, rejoice. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you again this evening for your word. We thank you, Father, for this glorious, glorious story, this account, this Bible, in fact, that we read, and over again, we see your work being done on our behalf. And even tonight, Father, we praise you, we thank you that you have saved us. So even as we say that word, Hosanna, we recognize, Father, that it is indeed what we need, that you would save us. But also we recognize the fulfillment of it as well. That in fact, you do get and deserve all the praise and all the glory. Because, Father, you have done this work for us and on our behalf. So thank you. And we pray, Father, again tonight that you would continue to show us, reveal unto us over and over again the simple message that our sins are forgiven. We have been washed and made clean. Our lame feet have been given movement again. We are able to move. We are able to live because of you. So help us, Father, to live and to live then for you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then we'll sing, what's the song?